75th कारिका अभूताभिनिवेशोस्ति
अभूताभिनिवेशोस्ति
द्वयं तत्र न विद्यते द्वयाभावं सबुद्ध्वैव निर्निमित्तो न जायते अभूत अभिनिवेशोस्ति द्वयं तत्र न विद्यते द्वयाभावं सबुद्ध्वैव निर्निमित्तो न जायते. This one verse presents the human problem and its remedy, solution. Which means so much of teaching is packed in this one small verse. See what it says first. The Shastram repeatedly is saying one thing. All that is here is only secondless, non-dual reality. There is no cause, there is no effect, there is no nothing. And there is only karya karana vilakshanam brahma chaitanyam. The only consciousness is there, implied by the word brahman and atma. And you are that brahma, therefore you are of the nature of fullness. Niraivahi ni mattume ullai. You are fullness. Shastram repeatedly says, you are anandaha. Now the sugar candy, the sugar crystal, is of the nature of sweetness. But all the time it says what? It is of the nature of sweet. The sugar crystal can never become sweet. It is already sweetness. Similarly, you can never become full, you can never become happy, you are already happiness. How can happiness become happy? How can fullness become inadequate? You can never become unhappy. Happiness can never become unhappy, isn't it? Sweetness can never become bitter. Therefore, You are Anandaha. You are Tvam Anandosi. Anandosi. Tvahna Tattvamasi. Anandosi. No? You are the reality. You are consciousness. You are fullness. You are limitlessness. You are free from limited. You are limitlessness. You are of the nature of sorrowlessness. You are Anandaha. Repeatedly Shastram says this. When we listen, we get irritated and angry. We say, what? Come on, what is that? I go through all sorts of suffering and you are saying there's no problem, isn't it? How can happiness become unhappy? Isn't it? Happy can become unhappy. Happiness cannot become unhappy. Isn't it? That is why he says, but still this is possible. What is not there is mistaken to be there. So there is no such a thing called birth, death. There is no such thing called punya papa. There is no such thing called experience of samsara. Really speaking, relatively it is there, absolutely it is not there. But still, what is relatively empirically there is taken to be absolutely real. The relatively real is seen as relatively real, there is no problem. What is empirically real is mistaken to be the absolutely real thing. And that is called what? Erroneous perception. The samsara which is not there absolutely, which is empirically real, is taken to be absolutely real. Isn't it? And then you say what? I was born, I am going through suffering, I'm going to die one day, and from the birth until the death, whole of my life, I go through lots of problems and pains. I'm a samsari, I'm a limited individual with all these problems. This strong notion we entertain about ourselves I am a samsari. I have samsara. I go through suffering. I go through problems. I go through pairs of opposites in my life. You know, this strong notion, I go through samsara. I go through pairs of opposites. I am the sufferer. That strong notion, you know, which is rooted in our buddhi, that notion is what we say here, abhiniveshaha, entertaining the strong rooted notion that I am a samsari, there is samsara, I go through samsara, is called abhinivesha, entrenched erroneous notion. And which is really the samsara which is not there. Really which is not there. It is called abhuta abhinivesha. Abhuta means the life of transmigration involving the patches of opposites, experience of pains and pleasures, desirable, undesirable situations, which is not absolutely there, which is relatively there, is mistaken for absolutely real thing. That error is what we say, abhutasya abhinivesha. Abhuta means what is not there, does not exist at all, is taken to be existent. So mistaking the non-existent to be the existent is called what? Abhuta abhinivesha. Erroneous perception of the non-existent to be the existent, the non-real to be the real, the mithya to be satyam is called what? Abhuta abhinivesha. Abhuta abhinivesha. Understand, it is there. Really speaking, abhuta abhinivesha asti. Dvayam tatra na vidyate. Dvaita abhinivesha asti kevalam. No? Dvayam tatra na vidyate. There is no duality at all. Absolutely, there is no duality. There is no subject-object duality. There is no knower-known duality. We are not, when I say there is no duality at all, from which standpoint, you have to remember. Don't, from the standpoint of the waker sitting here as the student in the class listening to me, and then don't say there is no duality, okay? There is duality. Relatively, absolutely, there is no duality. Dvayam tatra na vidyate. You have to drag, I always use the term drag, the eye-sense from the body, eye-sense from the mind. Why? Body is object of knowledge and you are the experiencer, knower. So, I am the knower. There you don't have any doubt. If you are the knower and you have to lift yourself up from the known body, the known pranas, known sense powers, known thoughts, known emotions, known cognitions, everything shift, lift, and then finally where you have to dragging, where you have to just without dropping, where you had just drop it, where you have to drop. It's a cognitive drop, isn't it? Only in consciousness. Isn't it? From the standpoint of consciousness, if you see, there is no experiencer, no doer. There's no experienced, really speaking. That which obtains in the form of the knower and the known is one and the only reality, consciousness. If without the reality, the consciousness, if there can be knower or experiencer, if there can be the known, then you can say there is duality. Isn't it? There's no duality. Why? Because there cannot be the knower without the consciousness. And without the knower, there cannot be knowledge. And without the knowledge, there cannot be the known. If there is no known means, there is no object. Object means what? It must become the known. For it to become the known, there must rise knowledge. For which there must be the knower. Understand? Therefore, there is no such a thing called known independent of consciousness. There is no such a thing called knower independent of consciousness. Therefore, from the standpoint of consciousness, the knower and the known both are absolutely one and the only consciousness. Relatively difference is there. Absolutely there is no dvayam at all. When you say there is no knower and known, what does it mean? The knower and known both are appearances of the same consciousness. There is no other thing. Dvayam tatrana vidyate. But still we say what? There is a world different from me, which is the object of my knowledge. I am the knower and I am isolated, different from the world. I isolate myself from the whole. I see myself as isolated, limited individual with all problems of inadequacy, limitations and smallness. This duality is very much there, isn't it? Dvaitam, really, absolutely, it is not there. If it is not there, then why it is there? Why it is there? The question, he gives the answer. It's all because of ignorance. That answer is implied. It's not given here. Answer is implied here. It is purely because of ignorance of what is. It is ignorance of the rope alone. What is the rope is not known. There is ignorance of the rope, because of which alone there is perception of the non-existent snake. Isn't it? Why there is, what is not there is, why it is there? Because it, what is not known. There is ignorance. It is the ignorance, this maya is the cause of this erroneous perception. Okay, and because of which there is world of non-existent world of duality, non-existent samsara, non-existent problems, everything seems to be there. Understand? Really speaking, nothing is here. Only Brahma. Dvaya bhavam na vidyate. Why it is there then? It is because of ignorance. And here again you have to remember, ignorance. The next question comes, when did this ignorance come? Where did this ignorance come from? See, why did ignorance come? When did it come? Where did it come? All these questions don't ask, because ignorance never came. It has been there timelessly. Anadikalataha. Ignorance is there beginninglessly, uncreated from beginningless time. Ignorance has been there. It never came, it is always there. But you don't ask where, when, why. First of all, understand what ignorance is. Okay, ignorance will resolve. The minute you start understanding what this ignorance is, ignorance will resolve. Instead of asking the question, why did this snake come to this mosaic flooring? This nice carpet flooring, my God, why did the snake come here? When did the snake come here? How did the snake come from the garden? It must have crawled into this house. Mita, already she's scared now. How did the snake come here? It must have come crawling into this house. When did it come? Where did it come? How did it come? Don't ask all these things. First, bring the torchlight and see what the snake is. You see, there is a snake. It is how long it's been there? Beginninglessly, okay? And why? Because you do not know what is this rope. That ignorance is always there. Therefore, when you start searching for this, it will dissolve. You will not find snake at all. Similarly, ignorance also will resolve. When you ask what is ignorance is, ignorance will resolve. Therefore, but understand there is ignorance timelessly, beginninglessly, and this ignorance which is there has an end. How it can be, it cannot be destroyed, it can be resolved. Do you kill the snake or resolve the snake? We only resolve the snake. In the wake of knowledge of the rope, without any effort, the snake is not destroyed, snake is resolved. Similarly, samsara, the fear caused by the snake and the snake simultaneously resolve in the wake of the knowledge of the rope. What is this rope? Similarly, in the wake of the knowledge of the reality, the whole samsara, bhuta abhinivesha, okay? What is not there at all is looked upon as a huge problem in front of you. And the whole huge mountain-like problem will resolve along with ignorance in the wake of the knowledge of the reality. This is why it's Atma Ajnanam. The ignorance of the real nature of, essential nature of one's own self, which is the ignorance of the essential nature of the entire world, which is the root cause of his samsara, this ignorance is. The Shastram says, don't break your head asking when did it come, how did it come and all. It never came. It has been there always. Okay? But if in search, if you probe into that, explore what ignorance is, it will resolve. Understand? So here it says, it is ignorance which is the root cause of this samsara. The non-existent samsara appears to be existent because of this ignorance. Because purely because of the error in the perception. The error needs a correction. Correction needs removal of, resolution of ignorance. Okay, resolution of ignorance is looked upon as the removal of, dispelling of ignorance. You resolve it through the vision of the truth. Therefore, he says, what is the solution now? Only thing is what? Dvaya abhavam saha buddhvaiva. Next sentence he says, Dvaya abhavam, the duality not being the reality. Dvaya abhavam. Dvaya abhavam means dvayasya abhavaha. The absence of duality or the duality being not the reality. Dvaya abhavam means what? Duality being not the reality. Snake being not the reality. Isn't it? Similarly, the knower known duality, I am an individual different from the world and I go through samsara, all the notions, the piled up huge list of big files of notions you have piled up in your mind about yourself and the world. All the notions you have about the world are also what? Wrong notions. What is the notion you have about the world? The world, which is different from me, is a source of happiness. It will make me very happy. I am so much dependent on the world for my happiness and my pleasures. My enjoyment of pleasure is so important for me. Craving. No way. The more and more you allow yourself to indulge in that, the more you are enslaved. Be careful. The more you are allowed, that's why you have to become intelligent. You cannot, the kindergarten children. So I had to tell you this, no? Come on, play with all the tactic. Isn't it? You have to tell, come on, stop playing enough rubbish. Okay? You can't afford to be innocent and naive and then anymore. You had to be, isn't it? You had to make efforts. Otherwise, we are not human beings. We are animals. We can't afford to be animals, okay? The buffalo goes and lies in the slush all the time, enjoying the company of the slush. really uplift yourself, isn't it? I'm not saying it is. When there is a time you are allowed to go and play with all. What is that? Play dough, no? Isn't it? The children, they are there. They have to be sold. We have to appreciate the selling also. But only for children. You have to grow from that, isn't it? So here is what it means is this dvaya bhavaha, isn't it? It is real. Reality is real. Though here the dvaya abhavaha is so much, samsara is so much real for me because of what more and more I indulge, the more I entangle, the more I more involve myself, the more it becomes real. The more I keep on seeing the snake and fear, and then I try to, the more it becomes real for me. So to see that, really, so dvaya abhavam, the reality, duality being not the reality, how can you know? Buddhva, very important word, is it? Buddhva. Buddhva implies only through the knowledge of what is, knowledge of the reality. Knowledge of what is being rope, isn't it? It alone will help you resolve this snake. Until and unless you see the rope, you can never resolve this snake. Somebody has seen the rope, okay, comes and tells you, there is no snake, there is only rope. Yeah, there is no rope. Everybody tells there is no snake. Yeah, there is only rope. If you should say, don't say because there is only rope. People who have seen there is only rope, they come and tell you, what? There is no snake, there is only rope. But in your mind, still it is snake. But you say what? There's no rope. There's no snake. Because everybody is telling this. There's no. You have to make sure you should know. Don't simply take what others say. Therefore, go and search for it. Okay? If there's only rope, the knowledge of rope alone will help you resolve the egg snake. And the snake caused fear also. Similarly, the duality is like a snake. The samsara is what? Now, the duality is reality, and the duality cause samsara is also what? Ignorance of the self caused erroneous self-perception and the samsara. All of them can be resolved only in the wake of the knowledge of the truth. So our perception of the world is a source of happiness, and this world is responsible for my unhappiness. This raga, dvesha, this passion, aversion towards the world also is what? Attachment. We understand, attachment to the world is equal to mistaking this universe as a source of happiness, or mistaking the universe for something responsible for one's unhappiness. When you see the world of objects, some objects as responsible for your unhappiness, that becomes what? Object of hatred, aversion. And then you see the world gives you happiness, the world is source of happiness, then you have passion for the objects, isn't it? Both passion or aversion towards the world of objects is equal to what? Attachment. So you have to become free from attachment, means absolute detachment, real detachment is possible only when you are free from passion or aversion towards the world. Aversion towards the world also is a problem. The world is responsible for my unhappiness. That is also not true. The world is not the source of happiness. That's also not true, isn't it? Therefore, there's no neither passion or aversion. Only then you can say you have what? That's called real dispassion, real detachment. That real detachment is possible only in the wake of the knowledge of the reality, being your real nature. The world, perception of the world and perception of oneself as what? I am a samsari. I suffer. I have pain. I have pleasure. I go through all the parabdha, hanchita, agami. I have punya, papa, I am punyavan, papavan. All the notions about yourself also are wrong. This is called what? Abhuta abhinivesha. All the erroneous notions one entertains about oneself and the world is called what? Which is not real. the what is unreal being mistaken for the reality is called abhuta abhinivesha. That is because of the ignorance. That ignorance has to be resolved. That to resolve the ignorance, what you need is not any action. What do you need to resolve your ignorance? Do you need mental activity called meditation? Do you need oral activity called chanting, singing, and praising, glorifying the God, etc.? Do you need the activity in terms of, you know, pilgrimages and walking and running and jumping and then doing all sorts of physical activities? What activity do you need? Kayikam karma, vachikam karma, manasam karma. There are three types of activities. Which karma do you need to resolve the ignorance? Your whole problem is because of ignorance. Means what you need is knowledge, not an action. That is why we understand meditation will not resolve your ignorance. You need only knowledge for that, not any activity. Meditation will not resolve your ignorance. For knowledge, you need buddhva. Only knowledge I need. And for the knowledge, what should you do? Only Shastram. See, without being exposed to the study of the Shastram, there is no way of resolving ignorance. How will you see your eyes without the mirror? Tell me. Is there any other way of seeing your eyes? Is there any other way of looking at your eyes? Seeing your eyes? What choice do you have? You need the mirror. Similarly, to see your real nature, you need Shastram. So through the study of the Shastram, by doing only Shravanam with the help of the competent teacher, no, for length of time, regular systematic study, not one day I go, three classes I miss, because for celebration of Deepavali becomes very important for me, you know, or something else becomes very important for me, or somewhere something, garba is happening, I had to go. The whole jagat is dragging your mind. Why? So boring, class is so boring. Every time say, what is Swami is not teaching anything new here. Every day we go repeatedly, everything is Brahma, everything is Brahma, everything. What is that to listen? Boring class, most boring class. Nothing is said newly here. Repetition of the same old teaching. Why should they go and listen to this boring class? I've already understood everything is Brahma. Finished. So what? I can go and have some dandiya, dance program. Hey, go for some other program. What big sweet making? What big Deepavali celebration? I'm not saying not celebrate. Deepavali is a beautiful Deepavali celebration. We have to celebrate. Christmas is a beautiful thing. Everything, it's all for to be living a harmonious, no social life. But we are not really living a harmonious social life. We are really spoiling the social order by living an immoral life. Immorality will contribute for social disorder, which is a mahapapam. People don't see that. What is there? Everything is natural. I can do anything wrong. There is no buddhi, isn't it? How will Shastram work? There is no self-effort. People don't want to take the help also. Anyway, Bhagavan will try to protect them. Now, what I want to say here, this is something very important. This perception of one's own self, the perception of the world, there is error. It is the error. So ignorance by itself does not cause samsara. Please, ignorance is very beautiful. Avidya, maya, ignorance is harmless. It is ignorance which is the cause of samsara. I said, listen, root cause of samsara is ignorance. But ignorance itself does not cause any problem. As a samsara is not caused by ignorance, then what is it which causes the samsara? It is the erroneous perception which is the cause of samsara. Which means ignorance does not directly contribute for samsara. Ignorance results in chain reaction. Ignorance leads to erroneous self-perception. called Adhyasa. Adhyasa results in Adhyaropa, superimposition. The superimposition results in what? Erroneous notion about oneself is called Ahankara. Ahankara results in Asha, the desires. The desire results in action. Action produces karma, karmaphalam. Karmaphalam contributes for Janma. Avidya, Kama, Karma. It's called chain reaction caused by ignorance. Ignorance itself is not cause of samsara. Ignorance caused error is the cause of samsara. You all may ask me, oh, you said ignorance is the root cause of samsara, but ignorance does not cause samsara. Ignorance is only results in erroneous self-perception, which is the cause of samsara. What do you mean? I tell you, in deep sleep state, there is ignorance. There is total ignorance. There's any problem? In deep sleep state, you do not know you are. You do not know the world is. You do not know what you are. There's no knowledge, isn't it? There is you are, the pure consciousness. You are pure consciousness. There is no manifest knowledge, call it, isn't it? There is no knowledge that you are, there is no knowledge that the world is. That is ignorance. In total ignorance, there is no samsara. Is there any pain there? There is no error in your perception. You don't perception at all, isn't it? In deep sleep state, there is no worry, there is no pain. Why? Ignorance does not cause any problem. Ignorance caused error alone causes the samsara. Hope you get it. Very important subtle teach lesson I am telling again. Therefore, this error has to be corrected. I need to understand the error in my perception. I need to correct the error for which I need to resolve the ignorance for which I need to know. Buddhva eva. Gaudapadacharya repeats this. Buddhva eva. Buddhva eva. Knowledge is the only solution, not karma. For that knowledge, you need Shastra Shravanam. Regular, systematic, continuous, consistent study of the scripture. Systematic study. Under the guidance of a competent teacher, that assist Shravanam alone will help you resolve the ignorance. You need knowledge. Asanga, isn't it? No, this jnana is the only weapon of knowledge. Buddhva eva, when a person in the wake of the knowledge, when he resolves the ignorance, when he sees this fact of duality being not the reality, dvaya abhavam, when he understands, then nirnimittaha na jayate. He is the wise person. Who is the wise person? This Karika's pack is a big package, okay? It has packed so much. Buddha, having discovered the truth of reality as one's own nature, having thereby discovering the reality of the whole universe, having resolved all the wrong notions about the self, correcting the error in the perception, having right perception, right identity, isn't it? Having resolved all the errors and the error caused samsara, when the person sees from the standpoint of the reality, absolute reality, he sees what? He sees the duality, the perception of duality being not the reality. Dvaya abhavam buddhva. Perceiving the duality, he sees the duality is not the reality. Dvaya abhavam, the duality being not the reality. Seeing this fact, dvaya abhavam, then what now? Nirnimittaha, being free from ignorance. Nirnimittaha means being free from ignorance, the cause of samsara. Nirnimittaha means what? Being free from ignorance, the cause of samsara. Nimittam, samsara nimittam, the cause of samsara is ignorance. The word nimittam implies what? Ignorance. Nirnimittaha means what? Being free from ignorance, which is the cause of samsara. Which means, as a wise person, this person is what now? He lives his prarabdha, unafflicted by prarabdha, being free from the karma, being free from all the wrong notions, being free from punya papa, being free from doership and enjoyership. He, this person, when he leaves the physical body, he na jayate. He is not born again. Which means the wise person attains videha muktihi. The wise person attains videha muktihi. Na jayate means what? He attains videha mukti. There is no absolute birth of anything. The relative birth also he avoids. That is called nirnimittaha, means being devoid of the ignorance which is the cause of samsara. This person again is not born relatively also. He attains videha muktihi, he becomes free from bondage of this life of transmigration for good. Look at this, how much respect. Started with, in two lines, I have to say this much. Don't think I'm simply, that reeling. It's all from the, what has been said here, I'm telling you. Nirnimittaha na jayate. I said only one more verse and stop, okay?
Yada nalabhate hetun, yada nalabhate hetun, uttamadhama madhyaman, uttamadhama madhyaman, tada najayate chittam, tada najayate chittam, hetva bhave phalam kutah,
hetva bhave phalam kutah,
tada na jayate chittam, tada na jayate chittam, hetva bhave phalam kutah,
hetva bhave phalam kutah.
Okay, now he says, yadana labhate hetun uttama adhama madhyaman hetun na labhate. See here, hetuhu means cause. Cause of what? Samsara. What is the cause of the rebirth? There is no absolute rebirth. Why? Because there is no birth at all. There is no something called birth, origination, creation, absolutely. So, whatever we are talking about, the origination, creation, coming into existence, birth, etc., is only relative, isn't it? And according to Shastram, there is no such a thing called birth or creation of anything absolutely. The relatively, what is there as birth or creation or origination, isn't it? Even for that relative birth, relative creation also, the rebirth, etc., only relatively there, absolutely it is not there. But for the relative birth also, what is the cause? Janma is caused by karma phalam. Prarabdha karma phalam. Okay, now the question comes. Absolutely, I am not born. There is no such a thing called birth at all. Relatively, I am a jivaha, I am born. Celebrate my date of birth, isn't it? The birthday celebration. Which means, what is birth then? That birth which I am celebrating, for which I am celebrating the birthday celebration, cutting cakes, that birthday celebration is because of the relative birth. And that relative birth is caused by what? We all go to the hospital, the poor woman suffers a lot to bring the baby out, isn't it? Something called suffering. How can you say birth is not real? Every mother knows the problem. Okay, I don't know. Your mother knows. What I am saying, that is caused by what? Karma phalam. Karma phalam. Your prarabdha karma phalam. Unexhausted, stored, accumulated punyams and papams you have in your account of your past actions. No? We talk about them. Relatively, they are all real. Absolutely, they are not there. Okay, those karma phalani, karma, no, the fruits of actions, because of which alone there is something called relative rebirth. Relative birth, relative rebirth is what? Relative cause is what? That's only relative. Everything is relative. Nothing is absolute. There's a relative cause called karma phalam, for which, for relative effect called janma rebirth. And those relative karma are called here hetu. And what sort of karma you have? Uttamam hetu. You have what? Best, nice, best. Punyam is called uttama. Papamo papam. Only papam is called adhama. And mixture of punyam and papam is called madhyama. We have three types of karma phalani. Punyam karma phalam. Some people who would have done lots and lots and lots of only punya karma, they would have heard what now? What is the cause for their birth? Punyam. And there are some people who were born to just to suffer. Why? Because lot of papam. Only papam. And some people have both punyam and papam mixture. Then they are born here what? Both pains and pleasures. So those phalani, karma phalas, the fruits of actions, which are the relative causes of the relative birth, are of three types, called what? Punyam, papam, punya papa mixture. It's called uttama, madhyama, adhama, hetus. This punya, relative cause in terms of punya papams, now uttama, madhyama, adhama, punya papas or punya papa mixture is there only for whom? Only for the one who entertains the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Who is the one who can have this notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer? Or the only the one who identifies himself with the body, mind, sense complex. A strong I sense, aham buddhihi, dehatma buddhihi. The one who has strong dehatma buddhi. One has identity with the body, mind, sense complex. One who sees oneself through his body, mind, sense complex. Such a person alone can have the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And who is the one who can see himself through the body, mind, sense complex? Only he does not know who he is, isn't it? Therefore, the one who is ignorant of oneself, the ajnani, who sees himself through the body, mind, sense complex, no, one has wrong identity, thereby one who entertains the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, such a person alone has the punyam and papam. He alone has, for him, there is a ketu, which is the cause, relative cause for relative birth. Whereas now we are talking about the wise person. The wise person is the one who knows his real nature, being consciousness. Thereby, the one who is relatively identifies himself with the body, mind, sense complex. Absolutely, he has shifted his eye sense from body, mind, sense complex and resolved in consciousness. Thereby, one who sees himself as, Brahma, Param Brahma, that person who is free from the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and one who is free from all the wrong notions, is also free from punya papam. There is no uttamam punyam, adhamam papam, there is no madhyamam punya papam. This, he is free from hetavaha, the cause for rebirth. The relative cause of the relative rebirth is the punya papas. This person, wise person, is free from all the punya papas. He does not attain any punya papas. He has burnt his sanchitam through knowledge. And because now he has no doership, enjoyership, there is no agami punya papam. There is no present paradha also, he is not afflicted, because he is free from punya papas. I am the enjoyer notion is there, punya papas are there. I am the enjoyer notion is resolved, then there is no punya papa. Not simply saying I am not the enjoyer. And I am not the enjoyer pain. No, I am not the enjoyer means what? I am the enjoyer, that notion has gone, resolved, isn't it? Therefore, such a person, yada, when the person becomes free from all this punyam, papam and punya papa mixture, by resolving his notion that I am the enjoyer to the vision of the self, being consciousness, yadana labhate, when a person becomes free from punya papams, which are the cause, which become the cause for the rebirth, then tada chittam na jayate, then there is no birth of a jivatma. Chittam here means what? Jivatma. He is not born as a jiva again. Chittam na jayate, he is not born as an individual again. The notion of the self being an individual resolves. The notion of the self, one's own self being an individual resolves. Therefore, there's no birth as a jiva. Na jayate. Understand? Why? The palam hetu is not there, effect cannot be there. If the cause is not there, how can there be effect? For the effect to be there, there must be cause. There must be the seed for the sprout to come. The birth is not possible if then there is no punya papa palam. What is the cause of rebirth? Punya papam. What happened to the wise person? He is free from punya papams. Therefore what? Therefore there is no rebirth. He is not born. This verse again is talking about the videha muktihi. Had remembered this week, there is no such a thing called absolute birth. There is no creation, origination of anything. There is relatively, don't say there is no birth at all. There is relatively, empirically, there are births. And relatively, empirically, the births which are there, they are caused by the relative cause of karma phalam in terms of punyam papam, punya papa mixture. And this person being free from all punya papams, what happens now? He is not born again. Wise person attains videha muktihi. The relative rebirth is not there for a wise person. Why? Because the relative cause called punya papas are not there for him. Yada uttama madhyama adhaman hetun punya papani nahana labhate tada chittam na jayate. For him there is no birth of a jivatma. Understand? There is no birth of the person as a jivatma again. Chittam na jayate. Chittam means the jivatma here. Okay? Na jayate. The consciousness appearing as jivatma is not there. There's no more the notion of individuality there. Therefore, the answer he gives, why he is not born? Hetu abhave phalam kutaha. How can there be effect if there is no cause? How can you talk about the sprout when there is no seed at all? Isn't it? The punya papas are not there. Hetu abhave, when the cause is not there, how can there be effect? Hetu abhave phalam kutaha. How can there be effect in terms of birth when there is no cause in terms of karma? Is it clear? Hetu abhave phalam kutaha. This is Akshepati Prashna, which means what? Definitely, cause being not there, effect also will not be there. The punya papams being not there, the rebirth also will not be there. So it is the biggest secret has been revealed. What is the secret? There is no punarjanma. There is no janma. There is no janma. Therefore, there is no punarjanma. There is no punyam. There is no papam. There is no cause. There is no effect. Okay? You are ever free Brahma. You are all ever free Brahma. Shastram addresses all of us. No? Even though we are suffering and struggling, Shastram tells nice words. No? Isn't it beautiful words? It says, you're all ever free, ever limitless, ever, isn't it? Eternal, all happiness. You're all Brahma, not limited individual. Okay, here ends that verse. Okay, now there's a time for question answer. I think this, now we'll continue that next class, because I repeated a lot of things. Hope you understood very clearly today, isn't it?
Okay. Something you said a few weeks ago, that you may have answered last week, you said that consciousness is not the law.
Yeah.
And I'm just interested in that.
Yeah. Correct. Consciousness, Brahman, is not Ishwaraha. Consciousness is not the Lord. Isn't it? From the standpoint of consciousness, consciousness is not the Lord. I told you in the class, from the standpoint of consciousness, you cannot use any word. From the standpoint of consciousness, consciousness is not the Lord. From the standpoint of the universe, the Lord is consciousness. Which standpoint I'm saying? From which standpoint? From the standpoint of the universe, who is the Lord of the universe? Is the Lord or not? There is no Lord at all. The whole universe is the Lord. There is no Lord which is separate from, sitting away from. Pooja Swami says, always intruding into the privacy of everybody, sitting above and looking into this, disturbing you. Such Lord is not there. For us, the whole cosmos is Ishvara, the Lord. But it's only perspective. How do you see this world? There is no Lord other than the whole. What is this whole? The whole is consciousness. Therefore, who is the Lord? The Lord of the universe is none other than consciousness. But the standpoint of the consciousness, there is no world. And Lord, consciousness is not the Lord means, Lord of what? Lord of something must be known. When there is no universe at all, suppose I don't have any student at all in front of me. Okay, I'm a teacher means what? There must be somebody who is studying with me. Then I can say I'm a teacher. There's no teacher in front of me. I talk to the walls and things, okay? And that means that I'm not a teacher then. I'm a mad woman, okay? Therefore, the teacher is a qualification for a person. The standpoint of somebody which is, remember, somebody sitting in front of me as a student. There must be Jagat in front of, there must be Jagat. Then you can say what? The Lord. Consciousness, you can say the Lord of this entire universe is consciousness. When you've already resolved the Jagat, the standpoint of consciousness, there's no Jagat. It is what we said, no? That prapancha upashama means what? Your negation of the universe. From this standpoint of consciousness, you have negated the universe, negated the knower, negated the known, negated the duality, negated the universe. What is this whole cosmos? It is only appearance of the motionless consciousness, in seeming motion. Means, the standpoint of consciousness, this consciousness is not the Lord. There's no Ishvara, other than Brahma. But you have to talk about Ishvara when the standpoint of Jagat. Negate, Gaudapada Acharya very carefully negates Ishvara. Unfortunately, I tell you, when before you enter into the Shastra study, we need Ishvara. See, what happens sometimes, thinking they're teaching the highest philosophy, they completely ignore Ishvara. Very dangerous. Because the whole study is happening in duality. Isn't it? Therefore, you need Ishvara. You need worship. You need prayer. You need to know the value of values. You need to follow morality. You need to follow values. You need to follow dharma. You need to. Isn't it? From the standpoint of consciousness, no punyam, no papam, no right, nothing is wrong. You can live the way you want to live. The conscious doesn't want to live, okay? Consciousness is the very life. When there is a desire for anything and you want to do something, then I can do anything. Everything is one. People come and tell me. Be careful, okay? Don't get yourself deceived. All this wrong. The thing is, we have to see, understand, there is no Ishvara other than the whole. For us, the whole is Ishvara. Because the whole is Brahma. All that is here is only reality, Brahman. That's why the whole Jagat is Brahman. And we look at consciousness, the reality, from the standpoint of the universe as what? The Ishvara. And what is that reality? What is that Ishvara? The reality, the whole universe is the reality, the Ishvara. But the standpoint of consciousness, after negating the universe, there is no Ishvara. Therefore, what do you say now? Consciousness is not the Lord. You don't need to say consciousness is not the Lord. From the standpoint of consciousness, even the Ishvara word is not. That's what I told. All the words Shastram uses, they have to be used to distinguish consciousness. To see the superiority of the consciousness. To see the exaltedness of the consciousness. Absoluteness of consciousness. Oneness of consciousness. Oneness, the reality, consciousness being the reality, to distinguish it from everything else, we use all the words from the standpoint of the world. Duality, isn't it? But the standpoint of non-dual reality consciousness, no word can be used, including the word Ishvara. Today I mentioned that, all the words I told, all the words, satyam, jnanam, anantam, you can't use, even the word jnanam you cannot use. And how can you use the Ishvara? What is Ishvara? The Lord. What is the Lord? The word. What does the word mean? Teacher. What does the word mean? Relative. Somebody can be known as a teacher from the standpoint, relative. Only from the standpoint of the student is a teacher. Mother. Relative. Father. Relative. Friend. Relative. Every word is relative. Only in the relative context you can use a word. When there is an asanga atma standpoint, the second parallel thing being not there, reality being not there, second thing other than reality being not there, advitiyam advayam, non-dual, secondless, only when you use what is only reality, the second thing being not there, no relationship is possible, no connection, association, contact is possible, nothing can be related to consciousness. I want to relate the wave to the water. Hey, you can never relate the wave to the water because wave is already water. Wave must be existing independently without the water. Then you can say how it is related to. Isn't it? Here relationship is itself is not possible. Therefore, relatively usable words cannot be used from the standpoint of the absolute. Therefore, Ishvara, consciousness. There is no Ishvara. There is no Lord other than consciousness. There is no Lord other than the universe. There is no universe other than the Brahman, the consciousness. But consciousness is not the Lord. Same thing here too. Consciousness is not the doer, but there is no doer other than consciousness. Consciousness is not the enjoyer. There is no enjoyer other than consciousness. Consciousness does not have punya papam, but there cannot be punyam or papam minus consciousness. There is no knower other than consciousness is not the knower, but there is no knower other than consciousness. Consciousness is not the experience known, but there is no experience other than consciousness. Consciousness is not Ishvara, but there is no Ishvara other than consciousness. There are no lauded other than consciousness. Consciousness is not the lauded, not the Lord, but there is neither the lauded or the Lord other than consciousness. Any other question?
One question, I know everybody wants to go. People like Ramana Maharshi or Ramakrishna, they really didn't learn any books or Vedanta. Mm. But they had grace of God and they had that consciousness, so they realized the God just like that.
No, they did not study in front of us, that's all.
Otherwise also...
No, they would have... See, what Shastram says... What Shastram says is... Even people who do not study in front of us, please listen carefully, they must have worked for the, wherever they left the thread, they pick up the thread. They born evolved people, evolved minded. Only exceptions, few exceptions. But generally, in general, people are all born ignorant people, immature people. The whole life is for us to grow emotionally, to become mature and to work. No? That's why you have this mountain. No? Grihastha ashrama, vanaprastha ashrama, sannyasa ashrama, and buddhi comes, isn't it? We really understand. It's all going through life also teach. We learn from life's experiences, understand the limitations, and we become mature and then atanyanam. It is the general, rule, niyati. But exceptions are always there. That what does it mean? People in Bhagavad Gita, we have an example for this. Yoga Brashtaha. Yoga Brashtaha means the people, see, I know we come to the Shastram, then we pick up, understand what Purusharth Nischeha is, then we become committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Even to come to the Shastra class, no, every Saturday to come regularly also, you need lots of punyam. If punyam wasn't there, you wouldn't have been interested in the Shastra class. You wouldn't have come here. Some punyam, isn't it? Somewhere you were in the inclination for the study. Inclination for, even you feeling bored also, sometimes you come and sit. At least once in a month you come here. Something is bringing you here. That is punyam, isn't it? Somewhere you already made effort. In the same way, there are people who having Purusharth Nischaya, having the value of knowledge, being come to the pursuit of knowledge, studying the Shastram, making lot of effort, living a disciplined life, they work for Jnanam and Moksha. And before the advent of Moksha, you know, the lifespan ends. I'm not telling a story. This is said in Bhagavad Gita. Okay? Mm-hmm. When the person works for Jnanam, lives a clean, committed Jnana Yoga lifestyle he follows, which means he lives pursuing knowledge and living, preparing his mind. As a prepared minded also he works for knowledge. While being contemplative also, before the ascertainment, assimilation, this person's the span of life ends, paradha ends, he goes. Yes. And still he has not yet attained that vision, not become free. And such an evolved person who passed away, and he's called Yoga Brashtaha. And Arjuna asked this question in Gita. What happens to Yoga Brashtaha? Krishna says, no, he is born again in such a family background. You know, Shuchinam, Srimatam, Suchinam, Dhimatam, Gehe, Yoga Brashtaha Abhijayate. He is born again in such an atmosphere where he can pick up the thread where he left. I mean, he was born, and for such people, they don't need big teaching. Already everything has been heard in the previous lives. They worked for that. See, nothing can be accomplished, Amma, without your hard work. They have worked for that. Whatever work needed to be put in terms of study, everything, they have worked. and they come back what? With the big bank balance, not paupers. So they don't need to work hard to earn here. So they're all rich people, okay? Come back, they only come and spend. And we have to earn, save, and then we have to spend again, isn't it? So they come back, and for such people, they don't need anything. They need only just complete where they left. And for all that, that buddhi, that mind, counter disposition of the mind, they're born with such mental disposition. We don't have that. To have such disposition, we have punyam. You need to punyam. You need to earn it. You have to work for it. Isn't it? For any small joy, until nothing in the world we can enjoy. We cannot, no, we, unless we deserve it. That is why whoever enjoys anything, we look at it as what? Without feeling jealousy, no, being jealous of other person, we have to look at it as Bhagavan's vibhuti. Why that person has, why I don't have it? That is Bhagavan's vibhuti, glory of Bhagavan. Bhagavan, the form of order, blesses. They deserve it. They worked for it. Understand? Any, that's why always, whenever money comes to your bank account, this is not because of present efforts. Present efforts are instrumental for the past punyam to fructify. Understand? The past punya phalam, what you have worked for, that comes, for which the present karma is only nimittam. The bank account, money goes. Beautiful understanding, isn't it? I don't get any money, understand, you never worked before. Don't get it, simple reason. What I'm saying, so we that's why we have to see such Mahatmas for inspiration. We have to bow to Ramana Maharshi, Ramakrishna Sai. In there's a beautiful Telugu Kriti, Yantaro Mahanubhavalu. There's so many Mahatmas, not only in India, worldwide, so many rishis. Swamiji always says that. Unassumingly, they would have lived and gone away. We don't know. Andariki Vandanamu. So, our salutations to all the Mahatmas, you know, all the rishis, all the saints, great Mahat, who would have lived all over the Jagat, you know. Salutations to all of them, but they're only for inspiration. For knowledge, we need to go to the teacher who is alive and the Shastram which is present. Okay?
Swamini, there is a Swami called Stota Puri, who I thought was Ramakrishna's guru.
Mm.
So it's wrong to say that he didn't have a guru. If you read the Ramakrishna's story.
I'm talking about the Vedanta.
Yeah. No.
Teaching, Shastra. Guru,
Guru.
Even Nisargadatta Maharaj, he had a guru, but he was totally uneducated person.
That is what I told. See, our understanding of uneducated implies what? Going to the school, taking the book. Understand? As I mean, they must have worked. This very subtle fact which Shastram says. Unless you have worked for it, you wouldn't get it. And we know we haven't worked. So we had to work in this Janma. We are not Paramahamsas and Maha.
In the form of teaching like this, but they might have had somebody to inspire them.
What I want to say, inspiration will not work. Yes. Inspiration is only for us to pick up interest, develop interest.
Yes.
But inspiration will not work. No, you need teaching. Teaching alone is important here. That's what I want to say. See, for inspiration, we can bow to any Mahatmas. All their gurus also, who seem to have come there, we do not know what of con. See, only hear from the books. What they taught, what they learnt, we don't know. What the teaching was, we don't know. Therefore, only thing is, we have something called sampradaya, tradition. We have to hold on to the tradition. And then the teaching is available. The teaching have to understand. In the context of in the vision, only from the standpoint of Shastram, we have to understand even Mahatmas. Such people, okay? Which means everybody has worked for it and we are working now. That's all. So, by seeing them, we don't need to conclude that we don't need teachers and Shastram. If that means, then we would have been Ramakrishna Paramahamsas, and then people would be worshipping us.
You also need the grace of God also to do everything. His spiritual work also.
Yeah. Of course, Tena Vinatha Nupina Chalati, without grace nothing will work. And even everything that comes in, we don't need to see God's grace doesn't come separately one day. die right from the day one you are born. When you were, you had milk, grace. You were not starving, means you are grace. And you are alive till now, it is grace. You are able to come to the class today, grace. Able to get up, go, eat, enjoy pudding, grace. See, for us, the whole life is filled with grace. We never miss the grace. Okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.